Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Shorty, I won't ever understand why shorties be mad when all I wanna do is stick my toes in the sand. There's nothing wrong with champagne, dancing and such, but the nightlife in the city don't impress me much.
Fishing.
I don't feel right in the club, I'd rather be out, sitting in my 14-footer catching some trout. The fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm F-I-S-H-I-I-N, Paul Bunyan Country.
Today on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, we hear from Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service. We certainly talk fishing, but when Matt's here, there's so many other things to talk about. All kinds of hunting seasons, edibles, and he's done his homework on how this weather is affecting our ecosystem. It's all coming up. Welcome to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Well, checking in with Matt Brewer from North Country Guide Service, who is going on vacation. Matt, congratulations. You're getting some time off.
Yeah, I don't get much of it. Usually take a vacation in the winter, and then we always take a little vacation over our wedding anniversary, but I'm taking a good one. So
yeah, for you, this is going to, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if you can handle all that downtime.
Yeah, I might might end up pulling my hair out. Like I've said it a million times, I live my life in semi-controlled chaos, and just having like one or two things to concentrate on without a million other distractions is going to be really weird. I might either go mentally insane or I'll enjoy myself thoroughly. I'm not sure what'll happen yet.
So what are you going to do on vacation?
Wife and I are taking a little trip. We usually go somewhere different every year for our anniversary, and we're going to fly to California and enjoy a little bit of time without kids and do some sightseeing and fun stuff like that, and let my folks have some time with kids alone, and so they can corrupt them further. And then when I get back, I'm actually not going to do any of the late summer or fall guiding. I'm going to leave it to Rylander and maybe try out some of the young guns around town, see if they can handle some of my old grumpy clients, and no fish guiding until basically the ice shows up.
Okay.
Of course, we'll be doing bear guiding, but yeah, basically just going to take a month of just working one job and living a normal life, and we'll see how that goes.
Okay. I don't know.
You sound skeptical.
It just isn't. It doesn't seem like you.
Yeah. Many people have told me it's not going to suit me well, but we'll see.
Well, how's the fishing been so far this year for you?
It's been really good. It's been insanely busy. I've found myself burning a candle at both ends, and that's kind of part of what prompted this. And then my boat selling way faster than I thought it would was the other factor. But yeah, I've only had like maybe one or two tough days. And obviously the weather has been, everyone would like to see a lot of rain. We need many, many days in a row with some steady rain. But the fact that I haven't been chased off the lake more than one time this season is really crazy. It usually happens a bunch. So we've been out pretty much every day, a day off here or there, but staying on top of fish and bumping around to different lakes, and the bite's been really good. So it's been fun.
Considering how hot the weather's been, how warm the water temps are, how shallow the water is due to drought, does it surprise you the bite has been that good?
Yeah, and it's taken a little bit of adaptation. I mean, right now I'm in my crankbait mode. So I've been pulling cranks for almost a month now, like 3 weeks a month. And the crankbait bite has been really good, and I've still been finding shallow fish and haven't switched over to like lead core or you know, having a down rig or anything like that. It's just been straight lining in shallow water, and there's still a ton of fish up on the rocks and sand and in the weeds. But it's taken some changes, like I said. So spots that traditionally are like 8.1 feet of water that I, you know, religiously follow that exact coordinate trying to troll on my certain trolling routes, and they're now like 5.9 feet of water. So I can't do things exactly like I would in years past. Everything is a little bit different due to the depth of water. So I've had to bump out, and I've learned to troll the outside edges of my marks instead of trolling right on top of them, which is what I traditionally do. So it's been weird, but the fish are still in the spots they're supposed to be, and they've been biting. So it's been good.
Have you had any problems getting the boat on or off the water?
Oh my God. Yeah. So when a place like, Coles calls and they say, "Oh, we have guests that would like to hire you for the week," I'm like cringing because Big Turtle's access is like a clogged impeller waiting to happen. I mean, it's so shallow and you're constantly bottoming out. And, you know, my Verado is like 6 feet, 3 inches tall. There's no trimming it up high enough, where either you're going to be making water contact or you're sucking in silt. So there's been issues, and you know, some of the lakes going through bridges, like even going from Bemidji into Irving is like, it's kind of a little bit hairy at times, and especially places like Big Turtle, Mobile, or, I don't even dare attempt, taking my boat from Cass into Pike Bay. Some of those things are just not feasible this season. So it's been different and difficult at times. And yeah, I've had to blow out the impellers a few times. Run into issues here and there. My skeg on my motor did not look nearly as pretty when I sold it as it did to begin the season. I'll tell you that much. Rocks and silt and sand and lily pads and bumping through all that stuff. I lost a little bit of paint on the bottom of the skeg, but we've made it work. The lakes are still fishable, so just got to be really careful when you're close to shore.
You picked a good year to sell a boat when there's no new ones available.
Yeah, I had 37 messages, text calls within 24 hours of putting my boat up for sale. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Including the manufacturer wanting to buy the boat. Like, that's how crazy it was. And I was a nice guy. I could have let it go to a bidding war and probably made some pretty good ching selling it. But I go into it every year I sell a boat. I always say, you know, I just want to basically get what I need out of it, and maybe a little extra for any extra maintenance or things like that, and call it good. And I stuck to it. So somebody got a really good deal on a year where most people are trying to jab people with inflation. I just sold it for what I wanted out of it, and they get to take a boat for long haul, and got a really good deal on it with the agreement that I can come see her once in a while and maybe jump in the boat with them one day. So
the gods of fishing look kindly upon you today.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, this drought, what are you seeing out there? Is there anything that concerns you as from a long-term perspective? I mean, obviously, if we don't get this thing turned around in another, you know, fairly soon, it's going to be really serious. But other than that, if we were to start getting rain now, would we be okay?
So I've done a fair amount of research, you know, not just for my own personal wants and needs, but sitting on the board for the Sharp-Tailed Grouse Society. You know, we're starting to have some concerns with some of the native prairie disappearing because of farmers needing hay and haying places that normally they wouldn't. And, you know, there's a lot of different, like, wheels in my house that are turning that this drought is impacting. So according to what I have found, I know I shared an article on social media not long ago, and it said that we would need, like, 10 to 12 inches of rain between now and September 1st to get us back on table. Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
And all these rains have been great when we do get them, but one like shot of rain for 2 hours doesn't really actually do anything for us. So, yes, I'm happy it's raining because some things are being replenished, but we need like little rains or steady rains every day or multiple days in a row in order for the soil to actually accept it and start to break down properly. And it's grim. I mean, things are not looking good. We're going to lose areas of emergent vegetation on lakes this coming winter due to ice shift in places that we've never had vegetation emergent out of the lake. So, you know, the landscape is going to start to change, and then the fishing starts to change. The biology of the lake starts to change. Everything is different. So, yeah, we need things to change. We either need to pray for a lot of rain from now through ice up, or we're going to have to go the opposite route, or not the opposite route, but the alternate route, and we're going to have to pray for a lot of snow, and nobody wants to pray for that.
I'm willing to pray for the rain.
Yeah, I'll rain dance every day from now till December 1st, just so it doesn't have to snow, you know, 4 feet to get us back on table. But, yeah, there's a real long-term impact here. It's not just, oh, this season is terrible. It's going to take a long time for this stuff to come back.
Yeah, we'd have to be like the Upper Peninsula, snow-wise.
Yeah, or we'd have to be like New Brunswick, rain-wise.
Right. Yes. Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service talking all things outdoors today. We've got a lot more with Matt to go next. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, my guest. Well, Matt, I know you're a renaissance man when it comes to the outdoors. It's not just fishing for you. I mean, you're in the woods and you're on the prairies and that pretty much any type of outdoor activity you're involved in some way or another. What are you seeing, like, in the woods? For instance, I know you go for edibles. How's the drought affecting them?
I have turned down, I think, close to 20 trips for wild edibles or survival because there are no wild edibles. I mean, the humidity teamed with that storm we had this past week, some things are starting to pop. So things are starting to come to life a little bit, but it's not a high enough abundance for me to take people out and give them a proper education. There just aren't really that many mushrooms in the woods. Berries are, you know, few and far between. Raspberries are, I always joke that raspberries are super resilient because they're a weed. And they act like it. I mean, raspberries are fine this year despite the drought, but anybody who's big into blueberries, you know, go out and look at your blueberry patches. It's not just a down year for blueberries. Like, this is weather impacted. There just aren't very many. And the ones there are, they're small. And I've been out scouting a little bit for bear, you know, wondering what's out there for food. And the resilient things like raspberries, that's fine and dandy. And blackberries, they'll go, because they're resilient, but acorns are almost non-existent. I've been looking at every type of oak we have in the area. So, you know, we've got scrub oak, and there's the bur oak, which is basically the same as scrub, and then we've got white and red oak, and they usually kind of alternate. So, like, when white oaks have a lot of acorns, red oaks are a little thinner, and then it's opposite, and it's cyclical. But none of them have acorns. I mean, there are some little acorns on trees here or there, or sprouts of acorns that happened that have dried up, and now the acorn is no longer viable. So there's no food. Bear encounters in town, and on the outskirts of town, things like that, are at an all-time high. And it's because there's nothing for them to eat in the woods. So you can't really blame the bears. I mean, they got to find food somewhere. And I, for the first time, we've lived at our little farm for like 7 years. And we've had a bear stroll through from time to time. Like, I've seen bear poop in the yard and, you know, caught a glimpse of a bear just poking through. But we've never had one, like, stop and interrupt anything. And we actually had one, we believe it was on the deck, and where I've got my smoker, and it destroyed all of our feeders. So, you know, things like that are highly impacted. But the flip side of the coin with that is guiding for bears is going to be incredible. Like, if I start dumping food in the woods, I would imagine that every bear in the area is going to come find it. So my bear clients, I would guess, are going to be very, very happy this year. But, it's at what cost?
Right.
How many bears are we going to lose due to starvation? Or if they go into the winter without any fat and we have a tough winter, it's going to be ugly. So I'm worried about everything. And then you can say, well, you know, bears will rely on farms. Well, you ask any farmer how their crops are doing, and
right.
It's not great.
Yeah. Yeah, this is quite an impact it's having. You know, same thing with me. I've never had bears in my yard, but they've destroyed my feeders. They've destroyed my feeder pole. So, you know, I got to bring the food in every night to the garage and close the garage down. So, yeah, it's different. It's way, way different.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about, like, the wild berries and the mushrooms, now how resilient are they? Will they come back, or are we going to see a multi-year situation even if we do start to get some rain?
No. The mushrooms, you think of a mushroom, mushrooms are the largest organism on the planet. So they're underground, essentially. The root system, the mycelium, is underground, so it's just going to lay dormant. And what happens with mushrooms is, when they pop, essentially that's like the fruit, right, of the root?
Yeah.
So they wait for the perfect situation or the opposite, an unstable situation, and that's when they fruit, but they need water to do so. So the mycelium is, you know, deep enough in the ground where it's going to be fine, and the mycelium will still hold and lay dormant. And then as soon as it rains and there's enough moisture for it to fruit, it's going to fruit. So it's not going to impact that long term. Berry patches, some of those, you know, if they drought hard enough, they won't come back next year. So they're a little bit different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So blueberries, you know, we're kind of famous in this area for having really good blueberry picking, and that's going to be impacted for several years down the road, more than likely. We're still going to have blueberries, don't get me wrong, but they rely on shade and moisture, and we haven't seen a lot of either. So,
Matt, give me your thoughts on you know, the other things that you're involved in. You do, you know, you hunt for basically everything. What can we expect for deer, for bear, for whatever?
Deer, I mean, from a population standpoint, like, plenty of animals. There's no shortage of bears. There's no question there. You know, just because people don't see them doesn't mean they're out there. There's a lot of bears in this area, and they actually surprisingly had a pretty good winter despite lack of snow. But they're really hardy when it comes to denning. You know, they don't crawl in this deep little hole, and bears don't even actually hibernate despite the folklore. They actually torpor, so they drop their heart rate low enough, and they go into it with reserves, and they had a pretty decent winter, so bears are good. Deer, there's deer everywhere. It was a really conducive fall and spring for breeding, and And then, obviously, when the babies came, things have been looking pretty good. Bird numbers should be fantastic because the biggest problem with broods is rain. So you've maybe heard the wives say, like, when it rains, turkeys look up at the sky and drown. It's a joke about turkeys and how dumb they are. but there is a little truth to it. If it's a really wet spring, birds don't do well. Babies get wet, they get hypothermia, and you know, that's a real problem. So bird numbers should be absolutely fantastic, and I'm seeing that around my house. Like, turkey and grouse and woodcock numbers, they're thick. Like, there's turkeys and grouse and woodcock everywhere, and they've got full broods. So, you know, if a turkey lays 20 eggs, you know, typically you're looking at probably 40 to 50%. And I'm seeing, like, broods of 10, 12, 14. You know, numbers look really, really good, above average. So the bird numbers should be good. Grouse scenting should be really good this fall. Scenting conditions are going to suck unless it starts raining. But for you bird dog people, but numbers should be good and hunting should be decent. And if there's not food, if you can find it, you're going to find whatever you're after. So, you know, if you find a patch of clover that somehow managed to last under a shady part of a pine tree and the deer are really hitting that clover, or if you have a food plot that you've been watering, probably going to be pretty good this year.
You're listening to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, my guest. We're talking about all things outdoors and how this weather this year is really affecting things, mainly not for the good. And Matt, you know, one of the things that I keep hearing about, in addition to the real concern about the water levels and even groundwater concerns, the other big, big, big concern is fire.
Oh, yeah. I joked with someone, you know, I've only mowed my lawn, I think, two or three times this season, and one of the days that I mowed, I only mowed it because there were weeds and saplings sticking up out of the yard.
Yeah.
I don't think my blades touched any grass, but I've joked around that I don't even dare mow because I'm in fear of starting a fire. And people are like, what? You can't start a fire running your lawnmower? And I'm like, have you ever dealt with Tinder? Like, and not the dating app.
No.
Fire Tinder. Like, it sparks immediately with almost zero effort. And that's what we are right now, is a big ball of tinder. So if I go run my mower and let's say a pine needle gets stuck in the motor, I run a big zero turn and it gets hot. And on a hot day, the motor's running even hotter, and that little pine needle decides to get in the motor in the wrong spot, and it starts on fire or drops down on my lawn. My lawn's going to go up like nobody's business. So it's scary. It's fireworks. We didn't do fireworks. we let the kids do some sparklers while they stood like in the fire pit. Like, how boring is that?
Yeah, right.
but yeah, it's definitely a fear. There's zero chance that you're going to find me starting any kind of fire in the woods to cook anything or anything like that. It's a nerve-wracking thing. And what happens when we get an electricity storm or an electric storm and lightning strikes somewhere? You can pretty much guarantee it's going to start a fire. So we need the rain to hit before the lightning. There's a lot of things that people often don't think about that you could sit here and wax intellectual about all day. And the bottom line is we need some wet.
We do. I mean, I don't even really like to grill just in case some spark goes flying off and, you know.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? You shouldn't have to worry about that.
No.
And the last time I mowed like immediately after it got done raining. Like, I waited until my lawn was wet to mow.
Yeah, that's kind of the opposite of what you're supposed to do, but...
Right.
Well, let's talk about something fun. You're going on vacation. Sometime in that vacation, you might get a chance to go fishing. Here's the deal. You're not taking clients out. You don't have to answer to anybody but yourself, so you can fish for whatever you want. So what are you fishing for?
I tried to squeeze this, Kev. But the wife wasn't having any of it. So every year when we go on vacation, I sneak a fishing trip into it somewhere. And this year, we're not going fishing. We're going to be in California. And I'm like, California has a different breed of halibut. They have California halibut. So we have to go fishing for these halibut. Or we can go tuna fishing and have tuna straight off the boat. And he's like, no, I don't think we should fish this year. I'm like, all right. So we're not fishing. But if I were, I would be doing one of those two things.
Okay. What about up here when you can fish for whatever you want to?
I tell clients all the time, they're like, when you go fishing, what do you fish for? And on my days off, now I've got a little more incentive. I've got a son who wants to fish all the time. So he talks me into it a lot more than if I, had a normal year where on my day off, I'm not going fishing. But smallmouth or bluegills or crappies, those are the things I really like chasing big bluegills. And something about the relaxation of just sitting and being a kid again, watching a bobber, for someone who's busy like me, like, I don't want to run around the boat, net and fish. I just want to sit down, watch a bobber, reel it in, throw it back. I want good, fun action, sitting still, not running the kicker motor. Like, I love that. And then smallmouth bass, just always had a passion for smallmouth. They're an absolute blast. And I'm watching guys who are up fishing the High Falls Bass Championship right now, and I'm like, ooh, I wish I were up there. That looks like a lot of fun. But yeah, that's probably what I'd be doing on my day off. But my son would probably be like, I need a walleye for my Instagram. So we'd have to go walleye fishing.
Well, you got more options for smallmouth up here than you ever had before.
It's crazy. There are smallmouth in so many different lakes now. They've just spread like wildfire. And I know what happened, and I know who did it and how it happened, and I'm really glad it did. If I take clients out walleye fishing and we happen to stumble into a four-pound smallmouth, I love it. That's great. It's a great option, and I understand it changes the dynamic of the lake, and the whole ecosystem changes a little bit, but we're already dealing with so many changes, like the drought, and we've got rusty crayfish, and we've got zebra mussels, and the amount of zebra mussels, oh my gosh, it's crazy. And we've got starry stonewort, and we have a million factors that we're already fighting, so why not fight an invasive species to the lake that is actually really fun to catch?
True that, and the other thing is, as it seems that we're heating up, I mean, we're already seeing more and more of our lakes naturally go to more of a panfish bass type lake anyway. I mean, there kind of is no stopping it unless we see a reversal in temperature trends.
Yeah, and that doesn't look good.
It does not. Well, for those, I mean, obviously, if we want to book a trip through North Country Guides for fishing, some of the other guys on the crew. How can we go about getting signed up?
It's still all the same. You can find us at northcountryguides.com, or you can look up North Country Guide Service and Promotions on any social media. And you can contact me, and I can funnel you to the right guy. I've been working my butt off trying to make sure everybody has somebody to fish with, trying to make all the vacationers very happy with their Bemidji experience, and me, my team, and even some of the other guys in town who've been helping out are doing a really good job. So I will funnel you to the right person, and if Jason can't take you, we'll just put you down the line and keep going until we find somebody who can take you.
Okay. And the other thing is, I'm assuming you are booked for bear already?
We are completely booked, yep. it's actually I've got a waiting list going out 5 years, so we
so it's gonna be a while.
We're still taking people on because it takes 4 to 5 years to draw a tag anyway, so if you want to get a bear hunt, calling now is probably the best time to do it.
Okay.
So you can get on the books for a future year. But
do you do any other hunting trips for any other species animals out there?
We do a little bit of waterfowl, and specifically cranes. There's a lot of people that don't know anything about crane hunting and don't realize even that we have a crane season in Minnesota. So back where I grew up, you can hunt cranes. So we try to accommodate some people who want to get after that. And then, you know, if people are having trouble finding a deer and just want one for meat, we don't do any trophy hunts for deer, just meat hunts. But if people want to get out and they're having some trouble finding a deer, we can help them with that. But other than that, we try to stick to fishing and bear hunting.
All right. And again, phone number to call and website to check.
218-766-1814. Or you can get Jason at 218-760-7781 or northcountryguides.com.
He is the newly laid back Matt Brewer from North Country Guides. Matt, have a great vacation and downtime. I can't wait to find out if it fits you or not.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
A lot of great stuff still to come this week on the show. We're going to hear from the Lukens Village Foods United Way Fishing Champions, both the walleye and the bass champs, in our next show. And we'll wrap up the week with Henry Drews. He is retiring from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. He will reminisce on his long career with Northwest Fisheries. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast so you can listen whenever it's convenient for you. You can do that at Podcast One on the PodMN app, which will give you access to hundreds of Minnesota-based podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Thank you for being here. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country is sponsored by Visit Bemidji.
Fish and Paul Bunyan Country! Country!